Giordino took one of Egan's Viking notebooks and opened it. As he thumbed the pages, his face registered bafflement. "It looks like Dr. Egan was more of an enigma than any of you knew." They all studied the notebooks, and then looked at each other in puzzled incomprehension. All the pages in the notebooks were blank. Pitt was the last one to leave the library. He pretended to lock the door before he handed the key to Thomas. Later, when everyone was asleep, he quietly returned to the library and began searching through Egan's research material on the runestones. A trail and a story began to emerge. Giordino surprised everyone by making breakfast. Afterward, Pitt, tired and bleary-eyed from lack of sleep, dutifully called Sandecker and brought him up to date. Then Giordino joined Thomas, who had some work to do in the lab, while Pitt and Kelly returned to the library. Kelly came over and gave him a light kiss on the cheek. "I thought you might have visited me last night instead of Dad's library." "I'm not good at romancing women when my mind is a million miles away." "Back 1,000 years in time," she added, studying the open Viking books on the desk. "What were you after?" "You said your dad traveled around the country and translated 35 runestones. We're going to launch an expedition to retrace his trail."
"To what end?"
"Call it gut instinct," said Pitt. "But your father didn't chase around the country looking for Viking inscriptions and then hide or destroy his translations for laughs. He had a mission. I believe it ties in somehow with his experiments." Her lips were set in doubt. "Dad destroyed all his notes, revealing directions to the runestone sites. How are you going to find them?" He leaned over the desk, picked up a book, and handed it to her. The title was Messages from the Ancient Vikings by Dr. Marlis Kaiser. She has compiled a comprehensive record of more than 80 runestones throughout North America. Her earlier works are here in your dad's library. I think it might pay to visit Dr. Kaiser. When Pitt's Numa jet landed at Langley Field, Congresswoman Lauren Smith was waiting to greet him. As he stepped onto the tarmac, she embraced him, snaking her fingers through his wavy black hair and pulling his head down so she could kiss him. "Hi there, sailor," she said in a sultry tone. "My wandering one is home." Kelly hesitated in the doorway of the aircraft, watching Pitt and Lauren, and she felt pangs of jealousy. Lauren was a very beautiful woman. Her face and body reflected a healthy aura from having grown up on a ranch on the western slopes of Colorado. She was now in her 6th term in Congress. Kelly came over, and Pitt introduced them.
"An honor to meet you, Congresswoman," said Kelly, with a tight little smile. "Please call me Lauren. The honor is mine. I knew your father. Please accept my condolences. He was a brilliant man."
Kelly's face brightened.
"You knew Dad?"
"He appeared before my committee investigating price fixing among the oil companies." "What car did you bring?" asked Pitt, knowing she always showed up in one of his collector cars. She nodded toward an elegant, dark green 1938 Packard with long, sweeping fenders and two covered spare tires set deep into wells. Kelly ran her fingers lightly over the chrome cormorant mascot on the radiator. "To simply say it's beautiful," she said, "doesn't do it justice."
"Would you like to drive it?"
asked Lauren, giving Pitt an imperious look. "I'm sure Dirk wouldn't mind." Pitt could see he had little choice in the matter and resigned himself to helping Giordino throw their luggage in the trunk and climbing in the back seat with Lauren. Giordino sat in the open front seat next to Kelly. The divider window between the front seat and the rear passenger compartment was rolled up. Lauren looked at Pitt provocatively.
"Is she staying with you?"
"What an evil mind you have," Pitt answered with a laugh. "Actually, I was hoping she could stay with you. Her life is in danger, and she's safer at your place. The Cerberus Corporation is run by maniacs who won't hesitate to kill her in order to lay their hands on her father's formula for a super oil." Lauren smiled. "I could use some feminine company for a change." Then the smile faded.
"I had no idea you were mixed up with Cerberus." The investigation has been kept quiet by the FBI and CIA. I'll say it's been kept quiet. She sat back in the luxurious leather seat and stared out the window for a few moments. Then she turned back. I happen to head up the committee that's looking into unfair practices by the Cerberus Corporation. We believe they're trying to build a monopoly by purchasing most of the oil and gas-producing wells in North America. As soon as Pitt entered his hangar, he reached in the open window of a Numa Jeep SUV and made a call on its cell phone. A deep, musical voice with a distinguished cadence answered,
"I'm here."
"St. Julian?"
"Dirk!"
roared St. Julian Perlmutter, raconteur, gourmand, and renowned maritime historian.
"Good to hear your voice. I received a report that you were on the Golden Marlin."
"I was."
"Congratulations on a narrow escape."
"St. Julian, I wonder if you have time for a little research job."
"I always have time for my favorite godson. I want to try out a new 60-year-old port that I ordered from Portugal. I hope you'll join me."
"I'll be there in 15 minutes."